Mini episode 413 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Fashion Wrap Up, the definitive source for quick hits on fashion, style, celebrity, culture, and beauty news. Follow them on the web at fashionwrapup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the FDH Lounge. It is our NFC West preview for 2014 / look back to 2013. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge dignitaries in
residence.
Easy
for you to say.
Yeah, easy for me to say as I get a little bit ahead of myself. FDH Lounge dignitaries, breaking it all down for you here. We've talked about this off air, and I think right now it's the consensus of a lot of people. When you look back at the last two games of the football season, chronologically last year, I know that the championship Sunday had two games, then there was the Super Bowl, but the late game was the great game, San Francisco at Seattle. You'll get the last two games of the season, Seattle and San Francisco, in whatever order, are the two best teams in football right now. I think you probably have to give the nod to Seattle.
I was going
to
say, wait a minute, I think there's an order.
This just in, yeah, okay, this just in. But again, though, San Francisco in the NFC Championship game the last 3 years, Super Bowl contestant the year prior to that, it's not a big gap in my estimation at all. San Francisco came very close to winning that game. Were it not for a certain showboat there at the end of the game who decided to get his 30 seconds of fame mouthing off to the cameras,
it may very
well have been the 49ers who were in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I shouldn't say in whatever order. The order is definite. Seattle 1, San Francisco 2, but not a big difference between them and a big drop-off to the rest of the league after them. I agree with you completely on this.
Well, you do.
I do. I am in concurrence.
All right. I think if the Super Bowl result proved one thing, we talked about this with Denver a little bit, that wasn't necessarily as representative of what the true gap is between Seattle and Denver.
Yes.
That was a best-case scenario Seattle, worst-case scenario Denver, the Super Bowl. One thing that I think it proved is that San Francisco was the second-best team in the league.
Absolutely.
I think that actually the Super Bowl result reaffirmed San Francisco's greatness. And going into the year, I think everyone will have Seattle 1, San Francisco 2 as their power rankings. I do expect the 49ers to be a trendy Super Bowl pick. I've already seen some people make that case very early when the futures came out. As far as the NFC West goes, it is hard. I know this undersells St. Louis and Arizona, but it's hard not to look at it as a varsity, junior varsity situation because the two teams are so great, and I have a real hard time believing that both will not win 12 games. By the way, before the year, I said Seattle would be 11-win team. They won 13. San Francisco, I said 11. They won 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty close. Seattle, of course, I said would win the Super Bowl before the year. They did. But we haven't talked since the Super Bowl, really. We haven't had a really chance
on
to break
air,
it down.
Anyways,
I kind of knew about halfway through the third quarter that the talking point coming out of the game would be, can the Seahawks be a dynasty? Because unlike the previous two Super Bowl champions, the Giants and the Ravens, who just reeked of getting hot at the right time, no one picked them to win Super Bowl the next year. Matter of fact, neither made the playoffs, and I predicted both those things would happen.
Right.
But the last time I picked the Super Bowl winner was Green Bay, and then we did this show for the first time, this gimmick of, year in review looking forward. And I said Green Bay had an excellent shot at repeating. They wound up going 15-1 the following regular season, but ran into the Giants. I think the Seahawks have an excellent shot at repeating.
Absolutely.
An excellent shot at repeating. And what's crucial is it's the last year of this contract heaven that they're in with Russell Wilson and Richard Sherman. So this is a huge opportunity
for
them.
What happens when all these guys got to get paid, yeah.
We talked about this, that while Denver had this kind of seemingly short window with Peyton Manning and his health, Seattle kind of did with this contract heaven that I just term I kind of came up with, in that they're underpaying a lot of guys. These guys are gonna be do big contracts. It's gonna be interesting how many people they can keep. But what I think people, and granted it's still early, so not everyone's had a chance to give their thoughts on 2014 NFL, what's to come. But while Seattle's defense is undoubtedly the best in the league, and it will be tough for any defense to maintain the level they were at last year, particularly in the Super Bowl, their offense is going to be better next year. With a full year of Percy Harvin, offensive line's healthy, and keep an eye on this name. Keep your ears off this name. Austin Safarin Jenkins, tight end. He'd be a local pick because he went to the University of Washington.
Okay.
Coached by Steve Sarkisian. There's Pete Carroll ties there.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end's kind of maybe the only real weak spot. I know Zach Miller was serviceable, but I don't think they're going to bring him back. That'd be a great pick for them to end the first round. I see no reason why Seattle can't match last year's 13-win total.
It's funny. They put up a graphic during the Super Bowl about the youngest teams to win the Super Bowl, and it was the Steelers in 74, and it might have been the 49ers of the early 80s. There was one name that I was surprised was not on that list, because we tend to associate it. In my mind, it's the first name I think of, and it's the 92 Cowboys, because that was such a young, loaded-with-speed team there. And again, it was still the team of the decade, even though it really fell off after J.J. left there. They won one on the fumes that Barry Switzer was able to keep going. We talk about Caldwell and Seifert and these other guys that couldn't sustain after an initial run. The Cowboys should have done more and been more than what they were.
Although, in their defense, they were also dealing with an awesome 49ers team around the same time they had to beat all the time. And the Packers then emerged.
Yeah, the Packers then emerged. So Seattle will probably deal with some of these same things here, but again, they have the exact same look these teams that we were just talking about here, because they are still at least potentially ascendant. Now, in the salary cap era, which these other teams really, the Cowboys were starting to have to deal with that in the 90s, but in fairness, that's not really what broke them up. It was just that, again, they stopped performing at a certain point in time. To an extent, the injuries that befell Aikman and Michael Irvin ultimately cast the end of that there. Seattle is still potentially ascendant, but again, when's the last time you could say that about a Super Bowl winner? Because we've seen their progression over the last couple of years as they were taking the steps. They were a preseason favorite by many people to win the Super Bowl last year, yourself included. I will say it was based on the thought of they're ready to take the next step. They have about a year or so left here of where, again, they could still potentially get better with another good off season here.
It's hard to get better from 13-3, like we talked about with teams.
Yeah. This may be the peak of the Seahawks era.
13-3.
Yeah.
You typically don't improve the next year.
And I got them at 12-4 next year just because, again, I think they're maybe going to lose one or two games that they would have otherwise. But I still got them winning the division. I got San Fran going from 12-4 to 11-5 under the same kind of a thing here. They may not win all of those games that they were in, but still going to be very dominant.
Yeah, I've got both in the 12-4 range, I would say. I mean, there's only a handful of teams with 12 games. And, I mean, if these are my two top teams, I've got to pick them to win at least 12.
I understand that.
So, like I said, Green Bay I referenced. People forget about how great the expectations were for that Packers team coming up.
The Super Bowl with 15 guys on IR. You know?
And then they won 15 games the next regular season. I mean, they were the favorite going into the playoffs. This is certainly, before we go back to the Cowboys of the 90s or the last team to repeat, the Patriots of the early aughts, let's just go back to Green Bay for now and say that Seattle is certainly in the best position to repeat since them. Certainly light years past Baltimore and the Giants. But looking at that Packers team, there weren't many teams like them in the years before that. Like, Pittsburgh was kind of fluky the years they won it. No one was picking them to win it again the next year. Colts, I'm trying to think, the year they went with Manning, there was probably a lot of people who liked them the next year. The Saints, though, they came out of nowhere, they won it. No one picked them for a repeat.
Yeah, that's true.
This is certainly unique. And it was unique last year how the two top seeds made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it was the four best teams in the conference championship game.
Right.
So,
doesn't often happen.
You know, certainly we have not had a team that will go in as such a prohibitive favorite.
Well, exactly. And again,
like the Seahawks.
Like you said, San Francisco
and the 49ers are right behind them.
They're nipping at their heels. But here's the thing, though, and there's a commonality in how they've been constructed to this point. And there's a potential big differential to what happens from here. And that being in Seattle, Pete Carroll, he gets a lot of the credit, as well he should, but equally important to the whole thing, John Schneider, the front office, the composition of this team with middle to late round picks and guys getting overlooked in other situations, the composition of this team is peerless. In 4 years, they turned over the roster completely.
Which is why stability, like we talked about, the Browns can be often overrated. No team, this had a historical roster turnover, Pete Carroll Seahawks.
Yeah, but see,
do you know what they did, though? They picked good people.
They did, but let's say they stubbed their toe the first year, and a stupid owner is like, okay, enough of you. That's why you need stability, so you can get a proper assessment on whether it's the right people or not.
No, he didn't, though, because he picked good people.
Well, you know, Paul Allen also trusted in them once they were there, and that's
like
the
Paul
thing.
Paul Allen, too.
He is an excellent owner.
Who's handling the Fisher account? Anyway. Another key with Seattle, and I talked about the Cincinnati last year, kept both coordinators.
He did.
Against all odds. Those teams didn't want to wait for the Super Bowl. Against all odds they retain both coordinators. That's huge. When you look at coaching, something to keep an eye on, this is kind of a breaking story as we do this podcast. Jim Harbaugh, his future with the 49ers, there's rumors that he was going to be traded to the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
He's in a contract year. There's some rumors he doesn't get along with the front office.
Yeah.
That could be something to keep an eye on for the 49ers.
Well, that's the thing, and that's when I talk about the differential in terms of where we go from here. Because Trent Baalke, being the general manager in San Francisco, who is doing not quite as great of a job that we've seen with as John Schneider has done, but almost as good. He's done a very good job of procuring talent there in San Francisco, but he and Jim Harbaugh are not on the same page, by all accounts, right now. You're looking at a situation where, again, I said before this season, I asked every major NFL-oriented guest that we had on before the season and during, and they agreed with me, Seattle-San Francisco will be the rivalry of this decade. The last season proved it.
Oh, and how great is that first? And you took the pot shot at Richard Sherman, which was totally uncalled for, totally classless. How big is this that first game going to be when they face off?
It's going to be amazing. It's going to those two games. I said going into it last season, they were going to be the biggest games of the year. First one didn't live up to the billing because San Francisco didn't really show up. Second regular season game was awesome. The playoff game that they had, the NFC Championship game, was epic. What I'm saying is, they're in a position to be neck and neck for several years to come, but San Francisco's got to get it together. And it's a thing of where, look.
That means re-signing Jim Harbaugh. I don't care what anyone thinks about Jim Harbaugh personally. He's phenomenal.
I get that the guy's a real tool bag, and he must be a real pain in the ass to have to see in the office every day and deal with his crap 365 days a year. I get it. I'm not a Jim Harbaugh guy personally, but he's one of the two or three best coaches in the league. San Francisco, do what you got to do. I mean, you got to make him happy.
This is a franchise.
Life's
that
not fair. You have to appease the tool bag, San Francisco. Get on it.
This was a franchise that did nothing for 10 years before he showed up. And he's just made them into a playoff team every year he's been there. Not just a playoff team, but like one of the top teams in the league. They've won, what, 13, 11, and 12 his 3 years? I mean, that's unbelievable.
And one of the things that I have in common with FDH senior editor Jason Jones, I am the kind of guy, in a vacuum, I mean, unless I have a really deep rooting interest for or against, is that I root for history to be made. I like the big historical narratives to shape themselves. I want to see this rivalry the rest of the decade.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to see it cut short.
Sure.
Because, look, I loathe Dallas Cowboys, but when Jimmy Johnson left, that wasn't good for the game.
No.
We needed more years of Dallas and San Francisco beating the tar out of
each other. That was unbelievable. When sometimes you go back and they'll show stuff from that era.
Yeah.
The star power on those two teams is incredible.
Yeah. They moved the needle.
Yeah, they did. And that's the thing. We need more of this epic rivalry. We needed to keep going for as far as the eye can see.
Which is why Richard Sherman should have cut that promo.
Well, it did help in that regard. I'll give you that. So are you saying Seattle to win the division, San Francisco wild card?
Yeah, that makes sense. And then they'll be the two. And regardless of record, they'll be my 1-2 of my power rankings for most of the year, I think. Unless if there's some injury or something like that.
Unfortunately.
They'll certainly start that way.
The way I got it going for next year, because it was kind of a fluke the way that it went as far as San Francisco seeding in the playoffs, that they were able to delay that matchup to the NFC Championship game. Looking ahead, I think we're going to get that in round two next year, which is like a federal crime that those two teams would not be playing in the NFC Championship game.
Hopefully it works out. Hopefully one of the division winners gets upset.
I certainly hope so. As far as the other teams in the division here.
Yeah, let's not undersell these two. You know, I called it varsity JV,
but that
really undersells these other two.
Yeah.
Everything we've said here in the last 10 minutes just shows how thin the margin for error is for St. Louis and Arizona to even have a chance at making the playoffs.
Either one of these two teams would be a strong wild card contender in the AFC. Very strong.
Yes.
And either one of these teams would have a very good chance if they were in the NFC East to win the division. And again,
to be honest, even north of south.
They would contend. There's no question they would contend. Let's look at Arizona because they were the third place team last year. And again, I just think right now they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. They went 10-6 in the toughest division in football, a historically tough division. It is one of the 2013 NFC West is one of the toughest divisions in the history of the NFL, if you break it down. They went 10-6 and they missed the playoffs. Sorry you missed your window, Cards. I got them at 7-9. They have an awesome defense. They have a defense that was even better than they were, as you pointed out previously, when Ray Horton left there, albeit they got an influx of players last year, continued to build upon it. Patrick Peterson continued to ascend to an amazing level. You put the Honey Badger in there and some of these other guys. I just think Arizona's going to regress a little bit, maybe on the offensive side of the ball, lose some close games. I think they're going to be maybe the best 7-9 team in the history of the league, but to the extent of you are what your record says you are, I'm going to have the Cardinals at 7-9.
No, I hate that. You are what your record says you are.
Well, I just threw that in there to troll you.
Okay.
Although they
were a deserving 10-6.
Oh, yeah.
They were what their record says they were. They were.
Yeah. Yeah, they were who Dennis Green thought they were last year.
That said,
yeah,
they're not going to win this year.
Oh, no.
I've seen some people, and I think this is going to carry over with a lot of other in August. A lot of people are going to put this as their dark horse playoff team. Here's the problem.
Dark horse? They won 10 games.
Well, you know.
You're a lazy pant load if you call the Arizona Cardinals your dark horse.
Well, people are lazy pant loads, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen here and listen good. I got another one of my patented facts for you.
Okay.
Knock your socks off. Since the NFL went back to its current division format in 2002 with eight divisions, four teams per division, there's only been one instance of back-to-back years where three teams from a division made the playoffs.
Okay.
Not the same division, any division.
Wow.
And three teams made the playoffs last year in the AFC West. So history is, so when you have Seattle and San Francisco penciled in for two spots, again, it's just really unfortunate for Arizona and St. Louis.
You think the pads are going to be cracking in the Arizona-San Diego game this year? What you're saying is that San Diego screwed Arizona and St. Louis out of a playoff spot.
You screwed
this year.
Triple H, Earl.
Yes.
Yes. You talk about this division being historically great.
Yes.
See, out-of-division records, Seattle 9-1, San Francisco 7-3, Arizona 8-2,
yeah.
St. Louis 6-4. Oh. All of them had winning non-division records. So, that first of all, it kills the AFC West next year. But I'm not saying they're going to regress to 6-10 and be a victim of that four, you know, plus four, minus four fluctuation thing. But they could. And do you know with Arizona, how long can they hold on with this Carson Palmer?
It's a good question.
That's a problem. And St. Louis is probably going to be better. St. Louis is the team we haven't talked about.
Yes. I got them going from 7-9 to 9-7.
I could see that. But you know what a problem is for St. First of all, they were 1-5 in the division. The division clearly hurt them. Every other team.
They were like 4-1-1 the year before.
Yeah, I told you that before the year. No way they matched that record.
Yeah. Didn't come close.
Okay, so Arizona before the year, I said 6-10. They went 10-6, so they were the big outlier. They'll regress. St. Louis, I said 6-10. They went 7-9, so they were pretty close. I think St. Louis wins more next year. But you know what I don't like about St. Louis? Here's the difference, too. Mm-hmm. Seattle and San Fran have Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, borderline top 10 quarterbacks in this league. But Carson Palmer, I don't know how much longer he can last. He threw a lot of interceptions last year. And you know who I don't like? Is your boy Chief Checkdown, Sam Bradford.
He had a nice start to the season before he got hurt.
They were better with, whatchamacallit, Kellen Clemens in.
Yeah, well, he had some nice moments early on.
I think Sam Bradford's not good, and I think he's the reason that they can't take the next step. They have the number two pick in the draft, St. Louis, okay? I think it's crazy that they don't consider a quarterback.
A part of it is, too.
Well, they also.
Bradford was the last of the guys on the big rookie deals.
Yeah.
You can't do that when you got that much money tied up in it.
They also
in cap hell.
They have two. they need two new offensive tackles, and they didn't get one of those. They also need receiver help. Although,
they do.
Some more creativity with Tavon Austin would be welcome.
I said a year ago it was a huge reach on him. That is not an every down contributor.
I disagree. He's a gadget player, bro.
He's a gadget player.
No, that's what uncreative people say. I totally disagreed with
he's a
Jason Jones take.
He's a billionaire's trunk candidate.
Stop it.
All right, he's a trillionaire's trunk candidate.
Look, I'm
still not
saying he's Jerry Rice. I'm saying that some more creative play calling, you could have got a lot more.
Too small
Tavon
to be
Austin.
An every down contributor.
I think that's an old school, incorrect mentality.
Boy, if everything goes well, I sure hope we can get three impact plays from in this game. I'm sorry, that's not a top 10 pick in the draft, Kyle. It's not.
I think you can be a lot more creative than they were. With the dinosaur, Jeff Fisher.
Well, they should be
a man
more
that you ripped on, by the way, in a different podcast.
Yeah, well,
and a man I don't like, too. Has had a lot more losing seasons than winning ones.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again.
Also, karma, too. What do we think about bringing back Greg Williams?
I like Greg Williams because this is a man who, and anybody that follows our stuff with our fantasydrafthelp.com draft guides here, Greg Williams is a man who is noted for color coding in his organizing here. I like that. I like a man who color codes. It shows he's really on top of things.
And what tab was the bounties?
The ones in green.
Yes, yes. So I just think that St. Louis and Arizona are screwed by the division they're in. I just don't see either of them making the playoffs. I just don't think –
I don't think they're going to either.
If you have two 12-win teams, I mean...
That sucks the oxygen out.
Yeah. I mean, having three 10-win teams like this division did last year, you don't repeat that. I don't have the numbers on, you know, repeat 10, you know, I can't imagine that's ever happened, though.
No.
That in this current, you know,
certainly
alignment,
not, yeah.
that there's ever been a division that had three 10-win teams and then did it again the next
year. No. That's only been around since 2002, this current eight-division format.
Didn't the NFC North one year have three 10-win teams?
I think they did.
Let me look here. Just go back and look here.
Yeah, you go check
I think it was 2011.
Well, maybe it was 12 because you had
two.
That's when Lovie Smith got, you know, Lovie Smith got fired with 10 wins, but Minnesota was in the playoffs Green Bay.
Oh, I said AFC North, which it wasn't, but you're right, it was
NFC North, yeah.
Yeah, and look, no team won 10 games the next year.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this won't happen in the NFC West. But again, I've mentioned this previously on the show. I just want to mention this one more time just to give you a sense of the magnitude when I say historically great division. Our power rankings that we have up every week at the FDH Lounge blog, the FDH Lounge multimedia magazine, same place you can find this show, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. I go through, I have our power rankings in there, and then what I do is I add them up at the bottom, and it's just basically like the lowest number is the best division. So you had the NFC North. They had a total score of 30. The next division in the whole league was the AFC West behind the NFC West. The AFC West was like at 50, and then it was like into the 60s. When you added up the four numbers, because in the case of the NFC West, I think it was like Seattle, I think I had one. I think I probably at the end of the season had San Francisco 3, so that's 4 points right there. I think you had Arizona around 8 and St. Louis like around 15. 30 is an insane frigging number. It means that you're averaging 7.5, Kyle.
Yeah, and
it's insane.
Yeah, I think looking at my final power, I had St. Louis a little higher than a lot of people. I had them in the top 15. I had all of them in the top 15.
Okay. So you would have had a same cumulative division power ranking or maybe even a little better than mine.
At the end of the year.
Yeah.
End of the year, post-Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Seattle is 1.
Yeah.
San Francisco's 2.
Yes.
Arizona, 8-ish sounds right. Outskirt 8 or 9.
They were definitely better than some of the teams that made the playoffs.
8 or 9. They were the best team that did make the playoffs. They were 8 or 9. And I had St. Louis, 13-ish.
Then yours probably comes in slightly under 30. That's insane. Mm-hmm. There's like when you have AFC West at 50.
Three of the top nine.
And everybody else, like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and the AFC South was always hovering like around 90, basically, as a point of reference. So your typical team in the AFC South.
I had every team from the NFC West rated than the highest team from the AFC. Because Seattle. St. Louis, who was my lowest rated team for the NFC West, crushed Indianapolis. A game, by the way, that Tavon Austin played quite well in.
Well, yeah.
You know why? They got three big plays from him.
That's about all you're ever going to get on a best-case scenario from that guy. They should be more creative. I won't deny that as well. I just think there's a ceiling as to what that creativity can get you.
Like I'm saying, I'm not saying the guy's Jerry Rice or even Calvin Johnson or Josh Gordon. I'm just saying get him in space.
I'm not saying he's even Ice Cube McNeil, quite frankly. But just wanted to troll you a little bit there. But for the NFC West, again, I got Seattle winning it. I got San Francisco in second place and taking the wild card. Taking a look ahead here through the playoffs like we did with the AFC. It was very, very straightforward in the AFC. Both of us agreed. New England over Denver in a rematch in the AFC championship game, which would actually be the second repeat series in a row because you had 2 years of Baltimore-New England in the AFC championship game. This would now be 2 years of New England and
Denver.
Wow, that'd
be 4 years in a row New England would be the conference championship? Oh, I don't know if I like that pick anymore.
And that's where, again, you're saying that a lot of people are picking San Francisco. San Francisco would have to go back to championship Sunday for the fourth consecutive year to make
both
the Super
Bowl. Oh, I don't like those anymore.
Yeah, so that's, you know, in looking at this again, I prefaced it before. I have a bad feeling that we're going to get that Seattle-San Francisco third game in the divisional round. Seattle at home, I have to lean towards them.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go say Seattle over Green Bay in the NFC Championship.
I'm not going to start doing that yet. I'll just be an asshole. I'll just be an asshole. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'll say that, but no, I'm going to be with you.
All right.
If you made me make a very early Super Bowl 49 pick, I would say Seattle over New England.
That is exactly my pick.
Oh,
Seattle
wow.
over New England.
So, bet it now. I believe Super Bowl odds are available. What are the Super Bowl 49 odds, Rick
Morris? Well, you can be checking on that here, as I know you are. I will say again, I know that, like, after the Super Bowl, FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, who loves to play the contrarian on people, he was giving me this business reference. Well, I can't believe all these people picking Seattle to repeat. That's a hack take. I pointed out about their youth, the fact that they're still on the ascendant part of the curve potentially. Again, look, I can't tell you when's the last time I picked anybody to repeat. I think it was Green Bay, actually, who came very close. Point is,
it happens. Every decade, seen a repeat team.
Yeah, I don't often default to this, so I don't want to hear about it from anybody, but, yeah. Oh, that's real original, yeah. Picking Seattle.
The last 2 years, I picked the Super Bowl champion not to make the playoffs.
Well, I didn't go that far. I picked Baltimore to be a wild card last year, but I certainly didn't pick Baltimore to win anything, really. I picked them as a wild card, not to even win their own division. So this whole business, you know who I have tended to gravitate towards more in recent years? And I'm talking like the last five or six in general. I tend more to go to whoever won the Super Bowl the year before. Like, there were a couple times where I picked New England, not the year after their Super Bowl, but the year after their Super Bowl. So I've tended more so to kind of do that. But no, I'm going with Seattle. It's one of these things where, you know, again, I don't want to hear about it from anybody. Oh, that's real original. Well,
they're the best team.
Yeah. It's either them or San Francisco, and here's the thing. If you say San Francisco, again, you're saying they're going to get back to Championship Sunday for the fourth time in 4 years. That's asking a lot. And the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. I remember last year, one of the conversations we had on the show prior to the season was with Rick Bucher. It was primarily a hoops conversation, of course, but since he's a San Francisco talk show host, we also talked a little bit of Giants and 49ers. I told him, I think your 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. And he said, the only thing that scares me is it would be three consecutive trips to the NFC Championship game. Well, it turns out I was right on that score. They made it back there, but it's very unusual to do. It's unusual for New England if they can do it four consecutive years as well. But yeah, it's either going to be New England or Denver in the AFC. We know that. It looks like it's either going to be Seattle or San Francisco in the NFC. Seattle over New England, the game that I thought we very well could get in the Super Bowl last year. I think we will get in the Super Bowl this next year.
Denver and Seattle coming at Cole, these odds may not be 100% current. They were the odds that were immediately released after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But Denver and Seattle were both 5-1 win next year. San Francisco 6-1, New England 7-1. Next best is Green Bay at 16-1, and New Orleans at 18-1.
Okay.
So
yeah. So again, our picks are fairly, you know.
And then everyone else is pretty even. I mean, again, these are such early odds that like everyone else is like 20 and 30 and yeah. 40-1.
Kind of chalky McChalkerson, but you know, again.
And like I said, I have 6 months to change all these.
Well, and you know what? The teams the last 2 years didn't exactly come from nowhere. Going into the season 2 years ago, I mean, if somebody would have said Baltimore and San Francisco, you wouldn't have been shocked. You would have thought they were certainly at least in the conversation.
No, you know what's funny?
Conference.
I actually liked Baltimore going into that year. I started just liking them less and less as the year went on until they got red hot.
Yeah, well, then they got red hot there. And San Francisco had been in the NFC Championship game the year before, so how could you have thought they were a long shot? This past year, Seattle and Denver, you picked them at the beginning of the season. So did some others. I didn't. I wasn't fortunate enough to be one of them. But my point is, the last 2 years anyways, the teams have been right there that end up making the Super Bowl. There hasn't been anybody who's like, I didn't see them coming. No, I think in this era of the NFL, we know who they are, okay? I don't know if this era lasts past another year or two or three. Maybe things get a little bit more unpredictable, but we're in the predictability era. You have your teams at the top of either conference. You and I are picking a team or two out of that. All right, well, Seattle over New England. That's our consensus here. Thank you for tuning in to all of our divisional recap/previews for this year.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.